And welcome back. A young British adventurer, David Cornthwaite, likes to do things in the name of good causes in stages, journeys of 1,000 miles at a time. He specializes in 1,000-mile expeditions, finding ways to do them without the help of motorized equipment. His most recent journey ended beneath the Gateway Arch Saturday when Dave Cornthwaite ended a 1,000-mile Missouri River swim. In this case, the cause is breast cancer awareness. He's with us in studio to tell us why. Dave, so nice to have you with us.
Thank you very much, and also thank you for calling me a young man.
Well, I do that to everybody. Where I am, everybody's a young man or a young woman. But thanks so much for being with us. You know, given the change in the weather that we've just had, you got out of the water just in time.
Well, actually, the last week or so of the journey, or perhaps even 2 weeks, was desperately cold. The river has decreased in temperature by 15 to 20 degrees since I started on August 10th in Chamberlain, South Dakota. So I'm not going to lie to you. I'm very happy to be out of the water now.
What is this all about? What are you up to with these expeditions?
Well, I think the base reason is happiness, honestly. I lived a fairly traditional Western life, I suppose, growing up, and always assumed that when I became an adult, I had to have a conventional lifestyle, a house, a job, a few holidays a year, a partner, a cat, all of that. I achieved it all by the time I was 25, and I woke up on my 25th birthday, realized I was completely depressed. I had a very well-paid job. I wasn't very good at it, but that didn't seem to matter. And it afforded me a big screen TV and a lovely selection of DVDs, but I realized that that just wasn't enough for me, and promptly dispatched the job, the partner who I wasn't too happy with, even the cat went, and I loved that little thing, and skateboarded across Australia. And I realized slowly that I needed to live a life of passion, things that made me happy. I worked out everything that I thought I was good at, everything I enjoyed, and slowly it's developed into this creative career where I guess it's formed by Expedition 1000. That's my project to travel 25 different journeys of 1,000 miles or more in each one.
How many have you had?
The swim was number 7. So just as I passed the chain of rocks on Friday night, I crossed the 1,000-mile mark on this trip, and that's 7 down, only 18 to go now.
You know, we mentioned that it was a Missouri River swim, but I guess the last 30 miles or so were in the Mississippi, of course.
Yeah, the last 16 actually were in the Mississippi. That's how far it is down to the arch from the confluence, but it was a real pleasure, actually. I wanted to finish the journey at the Gateway Arch. Of course, it's an iconic landmark, and I think my favorite journey to date was actually last summer when I stand-up paddleboarded 2,404 miles, the length of the Mississippi plus a little bit more. And that, of course, is where I first saw the Missouri.
You don't do this alone?
Not on this trip, no. Mm-hmm. Usually I do travel alone. Mm-hmm. But I had two things that I wanted to share with this journey. First of all, my friend Chris Hallinger. She was 23 when she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And she'd been misdiagnosed twice in the year leading up to that. So by the time they caught the cancer, she was at stage 4, and there's no stage 5. So Chris, at the age of 23, saw her life just disappear before her eyes. She's still with us, thankfully, 3 years on, but she's still going through treatment. She's still battling. And she wanted to use her story to share a message that young people can get breast cancer, men and women, and that we should check ourselves, understand our bodies, and ensure that what happened to Chris doesn't happen to us. I wanted to raise a lot of money for Chris. Usually I'm traveling for soul food, if you like, and this one I thought we could make a bit of noise and raise some donations too. So to help me do that, I brought along a team, and that was the second part of the journey. I love sharing my adventures online as I go, whether I'm by myself or with people. And by managing to persuade 6 or 7 people to join me, not only to join me, but to paddle the full 1,000 miles and not being paddlers, that is the beauty of saying yes.
They're paddling and you're swimming.
Exactly.
Well, how do you raise the money? Does your team go out into the various communities and ask for funds, or how do you do it?
There was a degree of face-to-face fundraising, but I think our primary way was engaging people globally through our journey. We shared videos, we shared blogs, photos, stories, tweets, and Facebook updates. As we went, we were experiencing brand new things every single day, and that, for me, is the beauty of adventure. We wanted to inspire people to go out and do similar things, not necessarily 1,000 miles, but just to test themselves and raise money off their own accord.
This particular project is called the Copperfield Project.
Exactly. Copperfield is the name of the charity that Chris set up after she was diagnosed, and They've saved a few lives with their message and continue to do so.
And there is a website whereby people can become involved and donate if they choose to.
Absolutely. Well, if people would like to donate, all donations would be gratefully accepted. And the website is justgiving.com/swim1000.
So we'll put a link to that on our website to make sure that people can get at it that way. Let's talk about the swim. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Facebook a moment ago. We had a question here which really deals with the end of the swim. Mm-hmm. We want to talk more about the actual swim itself. But it says, how desperately did you want to shower when you were done? Have you had all your shots?
I was... I suppose in some ways well prepared and some ways not for this journey. I definitely had all of my shots beforehand and I was psychologically ready. I hadn't swum more than 300 meters in one go before I jumped into the river in South Dakota. So the process of doing a journey like this, I wanted to open it up to everybody. That's what I like to do. I came last in my sports day races as a kid and I'm by no means a supreme athlete. But I'm incredibly positive, and I know I can achieve 1,000 miles if I can swim 300 meters. So that was my training the first couple of weeks. I think I've had about 5 showers since jumping out of the Missouri, and luckily I was able to have a few as we went down. It's not the cleanest river, but it's not the dirtiest river either.
Well, that's another point I wanted to get to. Where you started is certainly a lot cleaner than where you ended. That has to be an issue. I mean, how do you protect yourself from whatever might be in that water?
Well, by nature, as a river becomes older and approaches the sea, it tends to pass through more towns and cities. Yeah. And, of course, waste levels in the water increase. I saw things that made me not want to be in the water quite regularly, especially when passing through urban areas. But at the same time... the key is not to swallow. I had a nose clip, I had earplugs, and I swam in a wetsuit as well. And most importantly, by the time I'd finished the 180-mile lake section, which had no current at all in South Dakota, luckily my swimming had improved and I was able to... I think I swallowed less than a cupful of water in 2 months and I'm feeling pretty healthy right now.
In some places, a cup might be more than enough.
Yes.
To do a problem. But one of the things, you know, I'm familiar with the river, and it's not only the water itself, it's the stuff that's in it. There's a lot of things floating around, or being more than floating, being rushed by that current,
yeah,
that are potentially very dangerous, not only to you, the swimmer, but for the paddlers who are along with you.
Absolutely. I've spent months of my life paddling down big rivers, the Nile, the Amazon, the Mississippi, and the Murray in Australia. And I understand water systems very well, but I was always intrigued to see what it felt like to be submerged, immersed in that water. Mm-hmm. Now I definitely feel like I know rivers a lot better because I've been in that water for 58 days. And actually, I think there's a large misconception about big rivers. People are terrified of them. The amount of raised eyebrows I've seen, I tell you what, if I had a dollar for every one of those, we would have reached our target by now. But I actually see the Missouri as an incredibly placid river. There, of course, are obstacles. There are currents to be dealing with.
Tree limbs.
Yes. And there, I think that was the biggest problem for me. Seven times I swam into trees or logs or rocks that were underneath the water and not showing any signs of being there. And it was a shock every single time. But apart from that, I didn't actually feel in any danger. When barges were passing, you just keep your distance. And water is almost mythical for people who don't spend time in it. And I think it's really important for the people of St. Louis and beyond, anyone who lives next to a big river, don't be scared of it. Encourage young people, especially, to get out there, whether it's on a tin motorboat, a fishing boat, or primarily kayak or canoe or stand-up paddleboard. You understand the water a lot more. You understand what it can do. You understand how to be safe. And if you understand the water, you're much less likely to be, well, to perish in it.
By the way, what was your target, or what is your target, and how much did you raise on this swim?
Well, it's ongoing. I have a total throughout Expedition 1000 to raise £1 million British pounds, which is just under $1.6 million for Copperfield. We're over 100,000 now in total. I'm not a celebrity by any means, and fame definitely isn't my goal in this. And in many ways, I don't seek that, which makes the fundraising job harder. But I still have 18 more journeys to go, and we'll keep on plodding on. I think throughout this journey, we raised less than $5,000, believe it or not. And I think the effort by far outweighed the donations. But at the same time, it's a difficult economic climate. We can't force people to donate. And I think the beautiful thing is all of my team have committed to continue doing their own challenges until we raise our target.
That has to be a big disappointment for you, for all the work that you and the others have put into this.
Hugely disappointing in terms of the fundraising, yeah. It's really frustrating to be out there for 58 days. Imagine what anyone listening, imagine what you've done between August 10th and now. We've just been in the river going 12 hours a day, freezing cold temperatures, really, really battling our inner strengths. And to come out with less than $5,000 is almost heartbreaking. And I'm ashamed, actually. Because I have to go back and speak to the charity and say, guys, I'm sorry, we did everything we could, but it wasn't enough in this case. At the same time, it was a fantastic journey, and I know that we've been followed by thousands of people online, and I think it has its worth beyond the fundraising, so we're going to take the positives.
What was the high point for you? Was there a day, a person you met, or something that happened along the way that stands out in your mind?
I think every single day we met somebody who went beyond the levels of generosity you'd see on a day-to-day basis. And I don't think I can pick out one particular moment. I myself and the team have hundreds of new friends who supported us morally, verbally. They took us in, gave us showers, gave us beds, gave us food. Reaching the arch, the culmination of a journey like this when you've been going so long and put so much into it, was a wonderful moment on Saturday. An expedition's like an iceberg. You plan and plan for months before, and then it just takes a few weeks to finish it off. But so wrapping it up was wonderful. But I have a lot of fond memories from this one.
What was the worst moment?
I think the first deadhead, the first submerged log that I swam into, that was a big shock. And it really, it daunted me, actually. I don't think I swam after. And that was about 750 miles upstream from St. Louis. So I swam with trepidation after that. It didn't hold me back, but I was worried about hitting more.
Did you have to rely on people along the way for food and for housing, for lack of a better word?
We definitely didn't need to rely on them. When it came along, I think the very key to an adventure and a journey like this is to engage with people that you meet. So whenever those offers came, we usually accepted them. But at the same time, we camped. Out of those 58 days, we camped on sandbars over 45 of those nights, and that was a brilliant experience.
You were doing this, of course, during the time when the river was down, at least the Mississippi was. I'm sure the Missouri was as well. How did that affect your journey?
Well, I haven't seen the Missouri before, so I can't compare it to anything. I know that last year floods were absolutely catastrophic and water levels were higher. It was flowing faster. In that sense, it took me a lot longer than it would have done. If I'd done it last year, I would have been here in a couple of days, probably. At the same time, it is what it is. You take your journey, you live your moments, and I can't change that.
2 minutes left. We have another Facebook query. Did you see any catfish bigger than you are? And what was your favorite stretch of the swim?
We saw a couple of catfish that had been caught by fishermen on the banks, enormous creatures, but the visibility in the water is so low. In the lakes, I could see maybe 6 feet. By the time we got below Gavin's Point Dam at Yankton, visibility was down to 2 inches, so I didn't see a huge amount moving beneath me, which is probably a good thing. My favorite stretch of the river, the last section from Kansas City down, it was absolutely beautiful in South Dakota. It was a difficult challenge swimming in no current through the lakes, but from Kansas City down, I'd say if no one has paddled a section of the Missouri, get out there, and it will take you a couple of weeks to paddle those 300 miles.
What's the next project?
I've purposefully given myself a rest for the first time in 7 years. I work harder than I ever did when I had a job, and it's because I'm happy with what I'm doing. I now have three books to write. One is about this journey. It's going to be called Are You the Swimmer? Which is the question I've been asked by everybody. And so I have 6 months off. I'm staying in the States for three of them and then going to go and find a hidey hole somewhere. My next challenge is to complete those three books, and then I'll start looking around to complete the next 18. But in the pipeline is a horse ride across Mongolia and a solo 9,000-mile row across the Pacific Ocean.
How do you fund these trips? I mean, obviously, they have to have some money in hand to get started. We have 30 seconds left.
I am. Money's always an interesting thing, and actually, it means very little to me now. I earned $10,000 last year, and I have a bunch of sponsors who help supply me gear, not money for these trips. I think it's cheaper to swim 2 months down the Missouri than it is to rent a place in London for 2 months. So I think that's the key.
But you find a way to, obviously, to do it.
Always, yeah.
All right. Well, look forward to seeing you in St. Louis for the next couple of days, and good luck on your future projects, and particularly on this one. It's a subject close to a lot of our hearts around here. Thank you so much, Dave.
Thank you.
Tomorrow in St. Louis on the Air, we'll discuss childhood obesity and efforts to address that. And then we'll meet a physician who thinks he has the answer to providing affordable health care for all Americans. Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.